Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's Mr. FSP, Vic Gardner, in the place to be. I am going to bring you one hell of a show, which I plan to anyway. You know, when you issue challenges to folks, you hope that they would accept them and be humble and accept them. Well, I issued a challenge to my co-host, Jerry ATM, There Ain't No Money in the Machine Taylor, in reference to our fantasy football matchup. He issued me one in basketball, which I knew I had no chance in. Hopefully today, my co-host will call in. We will discuss his cowardice act of not accepting the football wager. But besides that, Jerry and I have this discussion. You know, we have a discussion, and it's about MMA versus boxing. Again, he's a coward for not accepting my football bet. I mean, he could say the same thing about me not accepting his basketball bet, but, you know, the difference is I knew I was going to lose in basketball. I knew that. There's no way in the world I was going to win, not compared to his lineup. But he was a coward in this football bet. Not to mention, he feels as though MMA is just terrible. He says it's ridiculous. He doesn't see any point in it. I mean, I love the guy. I really do. But I gotta be able to tell him, you know, he has no clue what he's talking about. He's a boxing guy, old school guy. So we're going to talk about that today. So it's MMA versus boxing for the first part of the show. We'll also talk about the Lakers situation from Kobe Bryant and the type of offense he expects to play in once D'Antonio recovers from his surgery and is able to coach. Lakers are in la-la land, but hey, we'll hear from Kobe. Also, do you miss hockey? I don't. But Sidney Crosby of the Pittsburgh Penguins says that a lot of folks are missing hockey. NHL is sorely missed. And most of all, he misses playing hockey. So we're going to hear from him on, you know, wanting to play hockey. But are you really missing hockey? Let's be honest. Are you? We'll also hear from the great RG3 in reference to playing two games, two very hard, tough games, divisional games, within the span of 5 days. We'll discuss that and some more, along with our great fantasy football information, starts and sits, and things of that nature. But right now, let me bring in my co-host, my guy, the guy that, you know, he's just scared to put his money where his mouth is when it comes to fantasy football, JT ATM, no money in the cash register, Taylor. What's up, JT?
Well, I have money in the cash register, but I'm waiting to get paid. That's all. The money is not there yet. It's supposed to be, but it's not there yet. And calling me a coward is not the way to get me to go to your MMA ways. MMA, in my opinion, stands for man-made asses, but it is what it is.
okay. Firstly, I'm gonna broach that subject of that money.
Before you go into whatever you want to go to,
yeah,
you have to listen to last night's program. I had talked to you on Thursday, and I had a feeling, and I just told you, I had a feeling that politics was going to get brought up. Mac and I had a very high-spirited conversation that went on for 2 hours, and it ended up getting cut off. Not even ending the show, we got cut off because we kept on going that long, and we're going to continue it next week.
Really?
Yes. Absolutely.
Dude, I was stuck in traffic all over the place yesterday, so I couldn't do much. But I am very, very, I will be listening to that once I get an opportunity. I have some homework to do, but I definitely will be listening to it.
Very high-spirited. Sure. Very high-spirited, I'm telling you. Trust me when I tell you, we could have gone on for another 2 hours. Yeah.
Sounds like it was a show not to be missed.
It was a show, in my opinion, not to be missed. We touched some issues, some highly sensitive issues, and I called him out on a few of them. Couldn't believe he was saying some of the stuff he was saying. I'm telling you. You have to listen to it because I wouldn't let him get away with anything he was saying. So,
okay.
I told you, I had a feeling. I just had a feeling. I had no forewarning. I just had a feeling. Yesterday's show, we were going to be talking about politics. I didn't think it was going to get as spirited as it did. But trust me when I tell you, we're supposed to be carrying that conversation on next week. And I think... instead of an hour, I have to talk to him. It's going to be a two-hour show.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So my question is, did y'all lead as friends, or was it just, I'm going to defriend you on Facebook?
No. See, Mac and I, we understand where we're coming from. We can have, I can have a conversation, a heated conversation, and disagree with somebody like Mac, because I know where he's coming from, and not hold any kind of animosity to him. I just keep calling him out on some of the stuff that he's spewing. So I mean, that's the bottom line. So
okay, just like I call you out on fantasy football. Excellent, great transition. So we're gonna bring in our third wheel, our homie, the one, the only, the Bookie Monster, Black. What's going on, homie? What you got going on?
What's going on?
Nothing. Jerry, we
got talking about Mac and Taylor beef.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened on yesterday's show, but apparently Jerry and Mac got into it politically, and I'm so mad I missed it. But,
I told you on Friday. I told you on Thursday.
Mac doesn't talk politics, though. How are you still bringing up politics?
You're right. He doesn't talk politics. He talks rhetoric. You're absolutely right.
Let me tell you. I told Vic on Thursday's show. I said I got a feeling that we're going to be talking about politics, or politics is going to get it brought up somehow on Friday's show. And lo and behold, yes, it did. Yes, it did. And we had, like I said, told Vic earlier, we had a very spirited conversation. So if you want to listen to the show, it's a 2-hour show. It ain't no hour. It's a 2-hour, and we got cut off.
And they got cut off.
Oh, so y'all were going over, what, 3 hours in? 4 hours in?
We went over an hour, and because we went over an hour, we went over an hour and then some because we got cut off. Didn't even get a chance to end the show. The show ended up.
You only get an hour of overtime. You get 1 hour of overtime. So the show was set for 1 hour, and since they went for 2 hours, it automatically cut off. If we set the show for 2 hours... and you get that third hour of overtime.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way that works. But, hey, we'll check it out. I encourage everybody to listen to us, all of our programming, Sunday through Saturday. Check our listings. We are on the money. Since we got Black the Bookie on the line, he's a different person other than my cousin, because we know my cousin has a strong boxing affiliation. Black has somewhat of the same feeling on boxing, but... let's discuss this, because Carlos Condit and George St. Pierre are going to fight tonight.
Who cares?
I do. You old bastard.
Freaking MMA.
Why aren't you bringing up the homie, Seth Mitchell? Why are you talking this It's the St. Pierre stuff, man. You know, South Memphis fighting tonight, huh?
We can talk about HBO. All of it, but
Adrian the Problem Broner on the same card tonight as well. Adrian the Problem Broner, pound HBO. But what is this stuff you're talking about here, huh?
If you promote it, I don't care. I want to talk about MMA because...
You're right. This is your show, and you can talk about whatever you want. Go right ahead, Mr. Gardner. We I apologize.
You people. It's always you people. I'm about to
You people.
Mac.
Okay, you people.
I'm about
to
like Mac.
Look here, 47%. You need to be worried about Nick Foles and that George St. Pierre.
47%. I can't believe Black went that way.
Hey.
Oh, man.
Here's what it is. All right, now listen. Here's the deal. I want to continue this because it's very important.
0-8 against rookie quarterbacks, but continue. Play on Nick Foles.
I don't care about Nick Foles. We ain't got the football yet.
You better care about him.
Anyway, the deal is this. MMA is a rising sport, and yes, it is a scientific sport. It is a strategic sport.
I keep hearing it's a rising sport. I don't see it on HBO headlines and like that.
You see it on Showtime headlines.
The only rise MMA gets is from in between your legs. That's the only rise they get. It's not
a
rising sport.
You are such a hateful man. I mean, you are a bitter, crotchety man. Anyway, I'll say this.
Okay.
You've got boxing, which is it's a sport. It has a science to it. As Jerry says, you only hit from the waist up. Yeah, got it. But there's a lot of damage done from the waist up, whereas in MMA, your whole body becomes a weapon as well as a rod for punishment. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm keeping it real. So, I want to bring up the issue that MMA is.
Hey, Black,
a sport.
Black, you okay back there?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
That was you asking, trying to distract from the point.
No,
Don King, sit down and be quiet.
Black's breathing awful kind of heavy back there. I'm asking if he's all right.
I thought he was just, you know, having fun with himself or something. I didn't know him. You're, no, seriously, are you okay, dude?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. Let's move on.
Maybe I have my mic too close.
Okay.
I do have one of those headsets. So let me know if it's too much.
Okay.
Nah, you good. So anyway, when you look at one of the premier fighters in mixed martial arts, George St. Pierre, and this guy who he trains with and has in his gym and is a great competitor in Carlos Condit, can you be certain that George St. Pierre is going to win? No. In boxing, when you have a boxer that is so-so, that is okay, you know, he's pitted in there against, let's say, a Floyd Mayweather, Floyd is going to mop the floor with him. You know, there really isn't a chance for this boxer to go in there and give Mayweather a good bout. In MMA, you are always pitted against somebody that's equal or slightly above your skill level. It's never these college football cupcake games in MMA like it is in boxing. The science of it all is preparing. In boxing, you can't just replace a fighter with, you know, 2 weeks' notice to come in here in a prize fight and give a great showing. In MMA, it happens all the time because of injuries. You look at the sport of mixed martial arts and you say that different disciplines an individual has to learn how to defend or how to use, it's astronomical because it's an evolving sport. That's what I'm trying to say. It's an evolving sport. Whereas in boxing, it's where it's going to be. It's not going to get any better than what it is. There isn't any real major talent out there that can drive the sport to a new level. There are great boxers, but there isn't a an athlete or a boxer out there that can drive the sport past the pinnacle in which it is. When Mike Tyson was at the top,
I beg to differ with that.
You can beg all you want. Doesn't mean I'm going to listen to you.
I really beg to differ for the simple fact is you don't know that there's no up and rising star yet. There's new talent rising every day of the week, every year. So to say that there's no rising talent or there's
no
extraordinary talent out there is a mistake in what you're saying. So
there isn't one boxer out there right now. He's not happy with Sean Smith right now. We're sorry, Mike, that you're not happy with your wife. We're sorry. I'll send you to the Olympics so you can get away. But,
I'll win right now.
What I mean by that, Jerry, is that you can't see a boxer right now that you'll say, you know what, he's going to be the next big thing in boxing.
You'll see him tonight. Adrian the Problem Broner. You'll see him tonight. 24-0, 20-0.
He's not that brand name that's going to carry the whole boxing industry for the next decade. It's not that. He doesn't have it. In MMA, you can see a few folks that are that way. You know what I mean? I see my cousins on the line. I'm going to bring them in a minute. But you can see a few folks in MMA. You can project by their skill level. And things of that nature, and when you pit them against each other, just like, for example.
Well, I got a question.
All I know is that you're trying to pick up the sport.
I got my cousin.
Kimbo Slice was the biggest name of the sport.
He was the biggest name of the sport
when he came out.
No, he was not. He was not. He was the biggest joke in the sport.
He got you an audience that you didn't have prior to pre-Kimbo Slice.
Right.
Would you agree?
Mixed martial arts. I would say this.
Would you agree, Mr. Gardner?
He brought in. Let me get it out. I'm about to agree with you, but show you the difference. Kimbo Slice brought in the average urban city individual.
Okay.
Because Kimbo Slice was a street fighter that tried to do MMA. One organization tried to prop him up as if he was this great mixed martial arts fighter when he was nothing but a brawler. When he got to the UFC in his first ever UFC match, he got beat down, pinned, just whooped in a match that wasn't even a big card. It was to get in to the house to fight for UFC. Then the UFC said, okay, you know what? We can profit off him just a little bit, but if he goes in there and just looks really terrible, which he did two times, we're gonna be through with him. And Kimbo Slice left. But if you look in boxing, you don't have that right now. You got Floyd Mayweather, great boxer. Who's gonna step up after Floyd? We don't have that. But let me bring my cousin in, because he's been on hold for quite some time now, and I think he has something to say. Mike, go ahead and say what you gotta say, bro.
What's up? I just wanna give a shout out to my man Black. I hit As soon as that brother said Adrian Bone, I was thinking that right when you said it, I was like, yeah, he watched boxing. Oh, and there's a young man named Danny Garcia. You might want to check him out too.
Right.
Tonight. Also,
we're trying to school Mr. Garner. I don't know if he's been in the
game.
Yeah,
he's trying to school. What's going on, man?
Let me ask you a question, Vic.
That can carry the sport.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Gardner.
Yes.
Out of 10 people, what percentage of people are watching MMA? Out of 10 people.
Out of 10 people?
Yes.
Half.
Half?
Half of those folks are watching MMA.
Okay. Check this out. We got four people on the line, and there's only one person that watches MMA.
God. No. They didn't say they didn't watch. They just prefer boxing over MMA.
We spoke right on that one. I do not watch MMA.
Okay, that's one. I know Black watches.
I watch it.
Thank you. Isn't that half, 2-2? Shut up, old man. Now, keep it moving. I mean, what I'm saying is this. Boxing is a great sport. But, and I'm trying to revert back to what I was getting to with Mike Tyson and then Floyd Mayweather. Between the two, between the Mike Tyson era and Floyd Mayweather era, carried the mantle. Lennox Lewis? No. No. Lennox Lewis did not carry the boxing, the sport of boxing. What he did was he carried the heavyweight division and made the heavyweight division somewhat relevant. Not really, but somewhat. Klitschko's haven't done it. It wasn't until Floyd Mayweather stepped in with all his flash and his bravado and his skill who can carry boxing.
Wow.
Are you forgetting about the Golden Boy?
You know what? I think
you can put Floyd Mayweather, you put Floyd Mayweather in there with, let's say, Victor Ortiz. Just an example. With Victor Ortiz, someone with decent boxing ability. Headline a card that has nothing but heavyweights on it, and people will show up late because they don't care about heavyweight. They'll show up just to see Floyd Mayweather fight Victor Ortiz. But in MMA, you can put any weight class on a card, and people show up all the time. That's my point in it. It's a growing sport, whereas boxing, it's a one-trick pony. Give me one guy that's going to carry the entire sport, not just his weight class, for the next 10 years.
Hold on. Let me get him, please. You just proven the fact that there is only one person on this line that does not watch boxing. There's one person, and that will be you.
Nope.
We know. I can clearly see that from that statement you said, where Floyd Mayweather came out of, you know, just came up and just took the mantle with all his flash and stuff. Look,
what
that dude
is,
has been. Dude has been that way for the past 12 years.
Once he came in, it was the same way. What I'm saying is, what I said about that is, it took between Mike Tyson and him the time frame. Not saying that Floyd had never been that way, but the time frame. Nobody carried the mantle of boxing until he stepped
up. I guess you forgot about Roy Jones. I guess you forgot about Golden Boy, who has his own promotion company. I guess you forgot about what's the guy, Bernard Hopkins. I guess you forgot about them, all those fighters.
Nope.
I guess you forgot about
Tito,
the Puerto Rican boy, you know, that was fighting for a minute. And then, if you need some DC flavor, what was the boy that Tito fought that was good? Black Boots name.
Shooter?
Judah, there you go.
We're talking about one individual carrying the entire sport. They didn't carry the entire weight class. You're saying that Oscar De La Hoya didn't carry boxing in his day.
The Golden Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar De La Hoya carried his weight class because
don't come out your mouth like that, please, because you're going to be highly mistaken.
Listen, the face of boxing was a heavyweight champion, which was Lennox Lewis. He lost, he didn't gain a lot of notoriety and stuff from the average fighter because he fought very defensively. Oscar De La Hoya, he was a pretty boy Olympic gold medalist who could box, okay? He came out, he boxed. He sold out a couple times. Not a couple times. Let's say he sold out.
He sold out a lot of times, Pippen. He didn't carry the sport by himself. Wait a minute, Victor. He carried boxing by himself for a good long time, because what Oscar did, you know, if you know anything about the, you know, the sport of boxing, what Oscar did is he brought in a whole lot more women into the fold.
Yeah.
So therefore, when all these women was coming to watch him fight, guess what happened? More dudes kept coming in there to watch the fight. They not only was watching the fight, they was watching all the women that was there. Come on, Vic. Stop the play.
We can talk about people that are attracted to somebody and want to come to your fight. I'm talking about somebody who's going to watch a sport and keep watching the sport regardless of Oscar De La Hoya being there or not.
Oh, my God. I need to call your professor, Slim. They need to take your business administration degree from you. Slim, I swear to God.
Dude, I'm telling you, Let's break it down like this. Since you want to go into the business aspect of it, boxing is it grosses a lot of money. It's trending downward as far as gross income. You can only get major fights or major money from maybe two or three boxers right now. Two or three. That's Pac-Man, that's Floyd, and maybe, I wouldn't even say Klitschko brothers, because they don't even show the damn Klitschko fights in America when they're fighting over here, or when they're fighting overseas. They don't fight over here because we don't want to see them.
We don't like them.
Exactly.
Michael, that's just a product of marketing. We don't want to see them. It don't have anything to do with the boxing. It has everything to do with the product. I don't want the Klitschko product. I don't like
it
at all.
Exactly. I mean, you're right. You don't want the Klitschko product, but Klitschko is the world heavyweight champ. He's supposed to be the baddest dude in boxing right now. He's supposed to be the brand that carries it because he's a heavyweight champion.
No, he is not supposed to be the brand that carries. He is not supposed to be the brand that carries. See, that's where your theory is flawed.
That's totally flawed. It's not flawed because if you tell me, okay, if you're looking for the baddest man on the planet, right? We're not looking for the baddest man on the planet.
We're looking to be entertained with boxing.
Okay.
And we're not buying that product.
You're right. You're proving my point for me. You're proving my point. Because you're looking to be entertained, and because you're not entertained, you're not tuning in to his fight.
No. We don't want that brand. Okay? It does not mean we don't like boxing, Slim.
I'm not saying you don't like boxing.
People love boxing. We are thirsty for a boxer to come out and take this joint.
Straight up. You're absolutely right.
And while MMA is fledgling along like the little engine that could, you know, I'm glad for him. But as soon as a dude come out that's come out and just straight up box and knock some dudes out, guess what? That dude will make more money than the whole MMA sport combined.
You know what? You're absolutely right. And with one fight, you don't have anybody out there right now or in the foreseeable future that can do that. That's my point. You don't know that, Vic.
You sipping MMA Kool-Aid. Right.
In my opinion, and I said that before, but y'all say my opinion is irrelevant. But in my opinion, boxing does not have that one star that will gather the masses and attract them to the sport the way MMA has right now. Jerry's right. It is a blood sport. It is where you can leg with somebody in the head and people want to see blood, guts, and fighting. True. But then you got those fighters that are very strategic and defensive. They will rather choke you out and make you tap than beat you senseless and show a lot of blood and guts.
Let me ask you this, Vic. Why is it sounding like you're trying to sell that?
It sounds like you're trying to sell it. No, I'm not trying to sell it. I'm the only one here that's defending MMA, which is fine.
Right, you're trying to sell it. Here's the deal.
When you take boxing fans, and I've gone to several MMA fights, and I've seen a lot on TV, whatever, but we take a boxing city, let's say New York, even though they'll never give MMA a license to do a major event there.
I wonder why.
Because they can't control it. Because they can't control it, and they can't control the outcome, just like they do in boxing. That's why. But I keep that to myself. So let's take a fight. Let's take a major fight. Because if George St. Pierre beats Carlos Condit tonight, they're supposed to have a fight between George St. Pierre and Anderson Silva down in Texas Stadium in Jerry Jones's home. They've already sold out all 106,000 seats. All George St. Pierre has to do is win tonight. That fight is not for another 3 to 4 months, and it's already sold out. When you take two megastars in the sport of MMA like that, who are legends, in the sport who've been who's supposed to be fighting over the past 3 or 4 years, and they finally make a fight, and it's not about somebody getting so much percentage of a damn purse. You have the fight the fans want. You have a fight that the fighters want. And therefore, you draw people to the sport. You don't have all this BS with, oh, let's check for doping. Let's check for, I want 55%. I want 60% because I'm a champion. I should give
that.
You don't
you
have
know
that
why,
type of practice
you know,
in MMA.
You know why you don't have that? Because MMA ain't on that level yet, Slim. Soon as
oh,
it
my
get,
God.
Soon as,
no, no, no.
As soon as,
doping.
As soon as
they
the joint get, as soon as the joint get more scrutinized like that, I guarantee you, you'll have the same problems. More money. More celebrity, more problems.
Oh, no,
that's all it is,
no,
period.
They've gone through that phase because when...
Oh, they've gone through that
about,
phase? Name
it's
me
been
one.
Around for about 40
right,
years.
Since we're going like this, then, name me one MMA fighter that can be offered $41 million to do a fight and will turn it down. And it's the most money that he ever got offered in his life.
I can tell you right
name
now.
Me one.
I can tell you what happened.
$41 million.
I can tell you right now, Slim. I can tell you right now. There were two fights that that were supposed to take place, but Dana White put the kibosh on it because it wouldn't happen. It would make one of the two look bad. Anderson Silva and Roy Jones Jr. were supposed to fight in a boxing match and then in an MMA match. And what happened was Dana White said, "No, you are my the 185 champion right now. You're supposed to fight these people. If you fight Floyd Mayweather, and I mean not Floyd Mayweather, if you fight Roy Jones Jr. in a boxing match, and then y'all go to and you lose in a boxing match, but then you go into a cage and you destroy him in a cage, both of your reputations will be totally destroyed." So he didn't let it happen.
So he couldn't. So you're telling me he couldn't control it?
No,
is that what you're telling me?
No. He could control it because Silva is under contract to the UFC. Silva wanted to fight Jones, and Jones wanted to fight him, but they wanted to do it one for one because he was going to come in. And that's when James Toney came in to MMA and said he wanted to fight Randy Couture. James Toney, then we were like, okay, well, Tony's not under contract to nobody. He wants to fight a world heavyweight champion. We'll give him Randy Couture, who at the time just lost to Brock Lesnar, who came from WWE, and that was a slugfest. But the bottom line was they tried to make matches happen, but because it was a champion who had to defend his title against somebody else, because Silva wanted, he didn't even want to fight his contender. He wanted to fight Roy Jones
Wow.
Jr. He was supposed to fight his contender. And Dana White was like, no, you got to fight this person, that person, because we've got this stuff already taken care of. If you want to fight him after your contract's up with us, that's fine. But then that's when Roy started losing and going through all that crap. And then he went to Bernard Hopkins and all that other stuff. That's when all that took place. So that money was on the table right then and there.
$41 million was on the table.
It was $50 million if you want to be exact about it.
It was fifty million. So just $50 million on the table. $50 million on the table. But
one fight.
For one fight, right? For one fight. Right.
Yes, but they were gonna go 50-50.
So,
I mean what part are you not getting?
And it was gonna go 50-50 on that $50 million, right? But yet I got one fighter. I know one fighter that offered another fighter $41 million out of his pocket to fight, but he still wouldn't fight.
That's not the MMA.
Exactly.
No, the boxer says no. He has that freedom. He's not under contract to another organization. He doesn't WBO, WBA, IBF.
What are you talking about, Slim?
They don't own that boxer. They can say, what are you talking about?
Those promoters own those fighters. What are you talking about?
IBF. IBF doesn't own freaking Roy Jones. IBF does
yeah,
not
but
own.
Those
they have
promoters
a title.
Do, Slim. Those promoters
I
do.
I got
that's
that.
Why your boy, that's why your boy ain't fought Mayweather yet. And that's why he had that fight thrown from him. And now that's why he's fighting for the fourth time the same dude. Really? Come on, man.
Hey, I ain't got nothing to do with boxing and the way they do it. What I'm telling you is the way MMA works, they don't say, okay, if it's a UFC fighter versus a UFC fighter, they're not going to say, well, we're going to put you in the ring in a championship match. We're going to put you in a ring with Lou Holtz. No. They're going to put you in a ring with somebody that's supposed to be fighting for the title with about the same skill level, if not the same or better skill level, because they've earned the right.
Because they
not
ain't.
Because,
that's because no. That's
not
because
they
ain't on that level yet, Slim. That's because they ain't on that level yet. They not. They not on that level.
Okay. Do you recall when there was a big hubbub about John Jones not fighting Chael Sonnen because Chael Sonnen was just selected like 2 weeks before the fight was supposed to take place, and John Jones said, "No, I'm not going to fight that type of guy with 2 weeks' notice." Right? There was a huge backlash from the entire MMA boxing, the sports community, saying if you're a champion, you take on all comers, no matter who they are, how dangerous they are, no matter what. There was a huge backlash for that. Now, they're going to fight in April. They're going to fight right after the Anderson Silva St. Pierre fight. First, they're going to coach this damn tough enough or whatever. But the point is, this is the only time that I've seen the UFC do some boxing stuff. This is the only time I've seen UFC do boxing stuff.
They're
going to
do more. They're going to do more.
No, they're going to do more. Listen. The reason I'm about to explain why they're doing it, at least is what Dana White and Zuffa put out there. They said that because even though Chael Sonnen had just lost two fights to Anderson Silva for the title, he moved up a weight class. He did not earn a title shot, but because of the animosity that is between he and John Jones, and the fans have said they want to see Chael Sonnen beat up John Jones, they're going to make the fight. That's the only time they've ever done that.
You know what?
Somebody a title shot.
You know what,
Big?
I admire your passion. I really do. But that shit sound like some WWF shit from back in the day. I swear
well,
I do.
Well, but in my opinion, MMA is WWE on steroids.
No bullshit. Wow. Hey, but look, I'm gonna tell you something, Vic. And don't forget this. In your business travels and in any type of sports or anything you're marketing, people buy the person. They buy the person.
Oh, I know.
They buy the hoopla. It don't even matter when this is how I know that MMA is a small sport. Because even though you've got fighters that are just boxers that are just horrible, but they always sell out. Why? Because the people come to buy them. They come to buy them. They not coming right now. That MMA community or whatever, they want to see the fight. It's all about the fight. And I respect that. I get that. But when they start jumping into the real money and start making like some real dollar, you're gonna see them marketing the people. They're gonna be marketing the fighters straight up.
They already did.
And then you're gonna start getting these overbloated fighters. Just like in boxing, but they're going to be making money, cash over hand, just because he's going to fight this one person. It always happens. It always happens, Vic.
I just gave a prime example of that with Sonnen and Jones, even though this is the fight that the fans
want. And it's
going to
happen to the Bull.
However, the difference is this, and I brought it up like I don't know how many months ago, but I brought it up that John Jones was the first ever fighter the UFC actually sponsors. Then they went out and sponsored George St. Pierre and Anderson Silva, which are their three biggest draws. Chael Sonnen also is a big draw. Dan Henderson is a big draw. Brock Lesnar was a big draw, and I think he's getting back into UFC.
What has been the biggest payday to date for any of the UFC or MMA?
Per fight, I think Brock Lesnar made $9 million for his first heavyweight title fight, and then he made $31 million over the next two. So you can say about $15 million, I guess, $15, $16
million. So Brock Lesnar came in and made more money than the established stars of the sport.
Exactly, and that's what caused a lot of the other stars like Randy Couture, for instance. Randy Couture sued the UFC because Dana White and Zuffa were not paying them as much as they were banking. Because, again, they were building their sport somewhere. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with UFC not paying its fighters, the millions and millions of dollars that they make. I,
I totally agree with Randy Couture on that. But at the same time, as a business person, you have to understand that they're building their own brand. Right now, Randy Couture, he has his own MMA organization, and he's going through the same crap that he put Dana White through. Because one of his fighters are like, you know, I'm like your headliner, but I'm only making like $30,000, $40,000 a fight. But Randy's like, yeah, but Randy's like, you know, we're growing, da-da-da-da-da. So he's seeing what Dana White and Zuffu was trying to do. Once you get that star, I mean, I'm be honest with you. MMA was nothing more than a military. The military was in the MMA, big time. And then what put MMA on the map was when Brock Lesnar left WWE, which is scripted violence, and went to UFC and did real violence. That's what actually put the big paychecks into these fighters' pockets, because there were people such as you three guys that really don't care to see UFC or MMA or mixed martial arts, because it's like, okay, you know, I'm so used to boxing. Boxing's better, da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, no, I watch MMA. The fights that I do watch, there were bones broken, so I watch MMA. I like that type of stuff.
But what I'm saying is the average person, I mean, you're the bookie monster. So you're looking for ways to make some money, right? So you find a new sport. It's relatively new. It cannot be, I'm going to say it can't be rigged, but it's virtually unriggable, because you can tell if somebody wins or loses an MMA fight, unless it's like one of those really boring boxing match fights where you're just saying who was the most aggressive in the octagon. And those are the ones I hate, when the MMA fighters stand up and box, because then it becomes who was the most. You can't score that round, that 5 minutes, off of what they've done. Only you can score it off of aggression. Who was the most aggressive during the 5 minutes? And sometimes when you get these Muay Thai guys against a Muay Thai guy, you get kickboxing, a lot of dirty boxing. You get a couple of knee strikes, but mostly it's a lot of tie-ups. There are no, there's no shot at, you know, any ground game or kicking. It's tie-ups and knees and elbows, which is cool, but it's boring.
They can do a better job of explaining Muay Thai and all the styles to the people. I think that's one of the problems that they're having. You can watch boxing match and see, oh, well, the guys are southpaw, you know, usually they fight this style, but Muay Thai, like, nobody understands them.
I mean, you're absolutely right, and I agree with you on that, because Joe Rogan and my man, I forgot his name, the other guy that calls the fights for UFC, you know, they do their best to explain what move is going on. They don't break down the actual martial art or martial arts that the individuals are trying to use or have been trained in. Again, Strikeforce, they were the first ones to go to national TV, CBS. And Dana White and Zuffa were so upset about it, because they were featuring a guy like Kimbo Slice, who isn't a mixed martial artist. He's nothing but a brawler, a fighter. So the average person that had no idea what mixed martial arts was, they would see him just throwing blows and that's it. They didn't see any technique other than brawling. So then that's what, you know, the average person saw. And then when it got exposed that organization were telling some of its fighters, hey, look, we're going to pay you an extra $25,000 if you just go ahead and stand up with them. You know, that when that got exposed, that's when they lost all credibility, and then it hurt legitimate organizations like Pride Fighting that was in Japan or UFC here, because it was like, so they're just as crooked as boxing. They're paying a guy $25,000 just to stand up and fight this guy, as opposed to take him to the ground. That's why when Kimbo Slice lost for that first time on TV, that guy said, no, I don't care about some money. I'm going to whoop his ass. And he whooped his ass. He took him to the ground and pounded. He ground and pounded him. He didn't stand up and fight him and box him, because that's not what mixed martial arts is. It's a form of it. But why do that when you know you're better at, you know, grappling or jiu-jitsu and getting the guy off his feet? you know, that's the science of it. And I know Jerry can't stand it because it's not what he likes, but, you know, it is what it is, old guy.
But we spent way too much time on MMA. We sure did. I'm sorry about that, guys. All right, here we go. Let's move on. Let's talk about a sport that really is irrelevant right now. NHL. Have you guys been missing hockey at all?
So far, you've touched MMA and NHL. No interest.
Okay, Black, are you missing the NHL?
What is NHL? What is that?
National Hockey League. Uh-huh. I know my cousin likes a little bit of hockey. He likes going down to Verizon Center sometimes. Checking out.
No. That would be a no. That would be a no.
Okay.
I'm not even going down to the Verizon Center to see that team that plays that basketball. I think it's called the Dizzard.
Nothing,
the Dizzard,
nothing
the Dozen, the Buzzard.
Except the Georgetown Hoyas.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's talk about a sport that really nobody's talking about or cares about right now, which is the National Hockey League. They've gone on a lockout virtually unnoticed. Only the true hockey fans have noticed it, and even some of them are moving away from the sport because this is the second time in the past 8 or 9 years that they've had a lockout. Is it a dying sport? It might be. When your average player is making over $8-9 million, just like the NBA's average players were when they decided to lock them out, you're gonna lose a lot of revenue. Sidney Crosby. Pittsburgh Penguins. He has this to say about the NHL lockout.
Well, I think that's where the frustration is. I think every guy wants to play. You know, I don't know if that's the case as far as the owners are concerned because they're not really showing that. You know, I think you can say whatever you want, but at the end of the day, guys want to play.
So the guys want to play, but does anybody want to go see them?
Well,
that's my question. Does anybody want to go see these guys play? The Stanley Cup. We just had winners. I forgot who even won the Stanley Cup this past year. Anybody? Anybody? Bueller?
What did you say?
Who won the Stanley Cup this past year?
What's the Stanley Cup?
Nobody. We don't even know. That's my point. But that's just not because we don't cover hockey as much. It's because nobody really cares right now about the sport. Now, Crosby makes, I believe, over $140-something million over a 7-year time frame for his contract. But his other teammates are making significantly less. Same thing with Alex Ovechkin. The Caps. Captain, he makes about the same amount of money. His teammates don't make as much money, but they're competitive. The problem is this. Other sports have come up and taken over the space that hockey has. Again, I can go back to MMA. You know, it's just like any business. Unfortunately, Hostess is filing bankruptcy, is going out of business, and all the other stuff. But isn't this what a lot of Republicans want? They want to get rid of a dying entity so that a new one can rise. I don't agree with letting Hostess, you know, go under, but who's going to rise up and take their place? In hockey, it's the same situation. It's going away. There are some folks that like it. Maybe NASCAR can take a bigger hold on those that like hockey. Maybe MMA. Maybe football, basketball, who knows? But it's a sport that people like, but it's not, you know, it's not going on. And nobody seems to care. So, with that being said, let's move away from that.
You said something?
Thank you.
Whatever. Let's move on to a team that nobody cares about, at least I don't care about. Maybe one person on this phone cares about. Let's talk about them. Los Angeles, Nikki Ficken Lakers. And here's Kobe Bryant on Tampa. Oh, he expects to play.
When he gets back, you know, he'll make a lot of things easier. Everybody kind of moves. Oh, I'll move back to my natural position. And, you know, he knows how to direct this offense. He's been directing it for a long time. And it'll make things very simple.
So his natural position is small forward. So they're going to move Kobe back to small forward. He ain't going to be a point forward. So what does that say? Who's stepping up and who's losing the spot? Does that mean Metta World Peace comes off the bench? What happened? Tell me, talk to me, Mr. Laker fan.
I mean, I don't know. I want to see how it all play out. You know, because I'm still reeling off of them, you know, fake handshaking with my man Phil Jackson, and then going with what's his name?
D'Antonio.
I'm still reeling from that. But, I mean, because D'Antonio is not known for his defense. I mean, the offense will be there, and it'll be high octane, but he needs some defense to go with that offense too, Slim. So, I don't know. I'm watching, let it play out.
So, Jerry, who then takes up the two-guard spot? If Kobe's going to move back to small forward, who's the two-guard? Jerry?
What's up?
She ain't paying attention. It's okay. I said, since Kobe's going back to his natural position as small forward, who then becomes the two guard for the Lakers?
Oh, good question. You got to ask McCall. He's a Laker fan. I'm not exactly sure who the heck's on the roster, because I think that only their starting five, they don't really have a bench. So, I'm going to ask you that question. Who's going to move over to the two guard?
I have no idea. I think Kobe is great at the two guard myself. I think that'll work fine with Kobe at the two, Matt at the three, Gasol at the four, and big
Boy,
man is, you know, bringing up the middle, and you know Steve pulling up, you know, pulling the point. I thought that was the lineup, but I don't know if him going. I don't know if that is his natural position. I don't know if Kobe's natural position is a small forward. I don't know that. I've always seen him as a two guard.
Might be the case. Black. Any thoughts on that?
This is an experiment that will fail horribly. You need to leave Metta World Peace on the bench for them. I don't know any of the Lakers guys because I haven't been watching basketball. I'm in a basketball moratorium right now. My Wizards might go 0-82, and I don't want to be any part of NBA basketball this season.
Okay. Well, I think if he goes to small guard, I mean,
who are the guards for the Lakers? Who do they still have?
You got Steve Blake at the two. Then who else you gonna put there? Antoine Jameson? Jameson's not a two guard. Antoine Jameson at the two. Who else is on that roster? Why would you put Jameson at the two?
No. See, you mixing this thing all up, Vic. You do this all the time, yeah. They got him. I'm telling you, they should have Kobe at the two guard, shooting guard, not small forward. He should be at the shooting guard, and then, like I said, you have Metta World Peace at the three. You have Steve at the point, and Gasol and Dwight Howard, you know, doing the center and the forward thing.
They got
Dodie Meeks, they got Darius Odom.
They'll probably put Jody Meeks at the two.
I don't know.
Well, that's my point. We can talk about what the lineup should be.
But the thing with that offense is that those guys run. I don't see the whole team last for 82 games. There's going to be a lot of injuries on the squad.
Dude, your phone keeps going in and out, but okay. I don't know who's going to come off the bench if somebody gets injured. I really don't, because they don't have anybody. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I just thought it was interesting. Kobe said he's going to move to his natural position. And for me, his natural position is small forward. You know, but if his natural position is shooting guard, then okay, problem solved. But I don't think that's his natural position. That's just me. But Lake Show, they've come around, they fired their coach, and now they're trying to move on and win some games. Bernie Bickerstaff has done a decent job. But we'll see what happens. Let's switch to a sport that we all know and love, and with 30 minutes left in the show, about time we got to it. It's some football.
Well, you wanted to go all MMA earlier, so this is all you're doing.
Huh?
You wanted to go all MMA earlier, so this is all you're doing.
Well, yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the conversation. No?
Do y'all have a suggestion box? Because you know what I want to put in the suggestion
what?
Box.
Suggest these, homie. You get your wish. You know what? You probably did make a suggestion and a wish to God that I wouldn't be able to host the show for some time. Because now I'm going to be gone from, like, December 10th through the 19th, then February 17th to the 23rd. Then I'm going to be gone the entire month of March and April and June. So you're going to have Jerry all you want. You're going to have all that Jerry all
be
the time.
Be prepared to see the greatest numbers ever.
Yeah, I need to mark that down, too. And
well,
mark those dates down. Make sure
no
I promote
please.
It.
You have
no
to, you have to give me those dates in an email or something. I have them down. So,
could you make sure you blind copy me, sir, so I can know.
No problem.
Blind copy that dude.
And let me tell you something. There will be never ever any MMA mentioned on any of my shows. Never ever.
When Silva and Pierre fight, there will be. I will find a way to make that happen.
Never ever. Ever ever.
I will change the password.
And if it does, we'll spend no more than like what, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 2 minutes?
Your email will be conveniently moved to the spam box.
You know what? We're just going to
go and deal with some relevant subjects, not MMA.
Right, we're trying to save you. Talking about we're gonna hijack your show, Slim. We're trying to save you.
There you go.
I got something for all y'all. Just me and you right now. This is me and you right now. They want to talk that yang? Let them talk that yang to themselves. Jerry muted me like 3 times on Thursday. You're welcome. They're my cousin. Shows you my blood over on that dude's side. You need to go to Jersey. Hang out with him. Anyway, hopefully y'all learned y'all lesson. I'm going to let y'all off probation. Let y'all talk. Just be silent. Spoken to children. All right.
Really?
So now that we
really,
really.
Now that we have
trying to save him, trying to help him and whatnot.
Now that we have some semblance of order, let's get to football. I had to lay down the law. Let's get back to it. Brian Leftwich, a D.C. native, I believe he went to H.C. Woodson, if I'm not mistaken, makes his NFL return at starting quarterback because Ben Roethlisberger has an issue with his shoulder and some rib issues. Some say Ben might not be coming back unless it's the playoffs. The Pittsburgh Steelers definitely will go back to the Pittsburgh Steelers of old. Definitely with the ground and pound. Leftwich has a big arm, but he's not able to move around and make the plays like Ben Roethlisberger did. But here's Byron Leftwich on starting for the Steelers this week.
It's exciting to get an opportunity to go out there with the Mike Wallaces of the world, the Emmanuel Sanders, the Heath Millers, to have an opportunity to get the ball to these guys and just to play with this caliber of team. You know, that gives me comfort understanding who I'm going out there with. You know, this ain't the bad news bears.
So my question to you, Jerry, do the Pittsburgh Steelers change their complete offense to work around the limitations of Byron Leftwich?
I don't think so. Byron Leftwich is—I wouldn't say he's a extremely capable quarterback, but he's a capable quarterback. He's a seasoned veteran. He understands the offense. You can see from the last time he was in there last week when Ben got hurt that he seemed like he was comfortable running the offense. It's just a matter of getting the reps. So, you know, he's got a week of practice. I know that's not a lot, but at least he got a week of practice with the first team that he didn't have before. So I think he's going to be pretty comfortable. And like you said, he's got some good weapons in the receivers. He's got a three-headed monster – not monster. He's got a three-headed backfield that all three of them are relatively capable of running the football. So, and Todd Haley is going to put him in a situation with his skill set to be able to succeed. I don't think he's going to have a huge problem running the offense. I think he's going to be more than capable. He's probably one of the better backups in the NFL.
Okay. Black, talk to me about your boy Byron.
Oh, man, I love Byron Leftwich, DC boy, but, man, being the Boogie Monster. Numbers don't lie. The Ravens are on an 11-game win streak, I believe, against AFC North opponents. Pittsburgh hasn't beaten the Ravens. Roethlisberger is out. I see that trend continuing here in this spot. Bad spot for my man B. Left, but he'll be all right finishing out the season.
Okay. Mike?
I don't see, you know, of course, Byron isn't as mobile as Ben is, and you know he doesn't. I don't know if he can you know work the pocket like Ben, but his arm and his you know his understanding of the offense is not too much far off of Ben's. So I don't really see too much of a drop off. They're gonna have to protect him. He's gonna have to get the ball out of his hand. But that's one of the things that Pittsburgh had been trying to do with Ben Roethlisberger anyway, for him to get rid of the ball quickly. So I don't see too much of a drop off, not too much. And I agree with Jerry. He is one of the better backups in the league, not the best backup in the league.
Right.
But I ain't gonna give it away because you might be going to talk about that next.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you were finishing that. Just abruptly cut off on me. Okay.
No, I just said, I didn't want to say he was the best, I didn't want to say who was the best, because you might be about to talk about it next.
Oh, I am going to talk about it, but he ain't a backup. I was going to talk about my homie. Well, you know what? I'll save him for last. Let's talk about another quarterback over here on this side that, in all honesty, I think his team is better off without him starting. That's Alex Smith. Here's Jim Harbaugh on Alex Smith's concussion situation.
Progressing as it does, and then, you know, the same thing we've always said is just, again, it's in the doctor's hands, and they'll evaluate him as the week goes, but there seems to be some progress.
So, in my opinion, Colin Kaepernick gives the 49ers a better opportunity to become a more explosive team. Now, Kaepernick missed a few open players this past Sunday when he came in relief. He has a good arm. He's very mobile. He reminds me of Jeff Garcia, minus the flamboyancy. he's a bigger guy. When I saw him standing next to Crabtree, I was like, dude is tall. Because Crabtree is like 6'2", 6'3". And Kaepernick is like maybe 2 or 3 inches taller than him.
Yeah, he's supposed to be 6'5", 6'6", somewhere around there.
Yeah. So, in your opinion, fellas, do you think Kaepernick should start this Monday night game, or should Smith, if he's deemed healthy enough, coming against this Bears defense that's hungry?
I'll jump in here. Yes, because he's a starting quarterback. They have packages for Kaepernick to come in, and I think they're going to continue to run them as long as Alex Smith is healthy enough to be the starter. They like to change a pace quarterback of Kaepernick to come in there, like they've been doing for the last few games. If that Smith is not the case because he's not healthy enough due to his concussion issue, then quite naturally Kaepernick's going to carry the load.
Okay.
I think you start the starting quarterback if he's healthy. Kaepernick is nice and spats. I don't know what Kaepernick can do with the whole 4 quarters of football. I think you start your starting quarterback.
Right.
Okay. Mike.
I don't know, man. I mean, I think this young man can do it. I got more faith in him than I guess the rest of you guys. I think you're watching the slow end of Alex Smith up there in San Fran.
Because they've been putting Kaepernick in more and more, that they're transitioning away from Alex Smith. Is that what you're telling me, Michael?
That's what's going on. Yeah, I think this is going to start, and this is going to spark it off. You know, it always sparks off from an injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is a bona fide injury. If this youngin get out there and make it happen, and keep, you know, and at least be consistent. You know what I'm saying? Not be so spotty. I think Alex is done.
Well, then this poses another question to me then, Vic, if you don't mind me asking this question everyone. Is the NFL transitioning because the success of these young quarterbacks, and they just happen to be young mobile quarterbacks, is this a growing trend? Maybe this is a dumb question, that if you have a young mobile quarterback that can do more than just sit in a pocket and pass, that you're more than likely to put him in there or give him an opportunity a lot quicker than just a strictly pocket passer?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because it's you have more threat. You give the defense more fits to work, you know, to try to work against. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I think that the trend started a year or so ago. When you had that great quarterback class come in, which was last year, and all these guys came in and started and did relatively well. Andy Dalton isn't a very mobile quarterback, but he's a good decision maker. Cam Newton, very mobile, could make better decisions with his passes, but he needs a running game to support him. RG3, yes, he has a running game. He's doing better than a lot of people thought he would against the competition that they had to face. Kaepernick is that guy that the 49ers have invested in, because I think they got him in the second round or something like that, second or third round, and they gave Alex Smith a one-year contract. So next year, either Alex Smith can come back as a backup, or he can go elsewhere and try to make some more money. He's not going to make more money elsewhere unless they're desperate. So I believe my cousin is right when he's saying that they're slowly but surely transitioning Kaepernick into that starting job. Nick Foles, this is his audition. The next 3 to 4 games are his audition to see if he's going to be quarterback of the future of the Philadelphia Eagles. They've already said, okay, Mike Vick, and you said it yourself, Jerry, he's joined to the hip by Andy Reid. So when Andy leaves this year, Mike's gone too. So this young kid coming in, he beat out the incumbent backup, who they thought was going to be, you know, their their quarterback of the future, and replaced him, and now he's a starting rookie. So, you know, the transition of the NFL from purely pocket quarterback to more mobile and accurate quarterback is there. And if you look at it, a lot of these teams are trying to develop a running game. I don't know what's going on in Carolina, but a lot of them have strong running games. Frank Gore, Alfred Morris, just to name a few. Will they feed, what's my guy, Shady, this upcoming Sunday? I don't know. I really don't know. But let's hear from RG3 on playing two games in 5 days, two division opponents within the next 5 days.
Football-wise, you usually don't get that experience in high school or college. So, no, I've never dealt with anything like that. You know, of course, basketball, you play game after game after game, but football is a lot more physical. So it'll be interesting, but you just try to make sure you take care of your body, whether it's foam rolling, stretching, cold tub, all those different things. Hydrate to make sure that you can go.
So the question becomes, since we're talking about the transition of the younger quarterbacks coming into the league and doing things that they should we expect them to do these types of things that they would get from a vet that's been in the league for 3 or 4 years? You got two tough games, the Eagles and the Cowboys, one Sunday, one Thursday. Is RG3 ready? And is that running game, the offense? Pierre Garçon supposedly is going to come back this week. Are they ready for that? Let's go with my cousin, Black, then Jerry.
Are they ready for it? I mean, no. The Redskins are not ready for it. No, they're not. They definitely have, you know, the makings of being ready for that, but they got too many injuries. They got too much stuff going on. They, you know, and it's a young team and whatnot. I don't think they're gonna win both of the games. I don't think they're gonna win both of the games. One of them games they're gonna take a L in. So you Cowboy fans, if we lose against the Eagles, you know what we're gonna come down to Texas and do.
Absolutely
we gonna stomp
absolutely
all night.
Nothing.
Still up. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Absolutely nothing.
Go ahead, Black.
Oh, you have no receivers. RG3 is putting too much pressure on himself. It's not on RG3 to win the game. It takes a team to win the game. Alpha Moores is doing his part. RG3 is doing his part. Garçon right now looks like a terrible investment. And I don't know where the other receivers are for the Washington Redskins. I don't know if they're in MMA, mixed martial arts, fighting or something, but nobody's catching the football. I don't know what's going on.
I totally agree. Everybody dropping the ball and whatnot. Yeah,
really
I agree.
You need to get your whole offense and change to this pistol crap. RG3 can't throw from taking snaps into the center. He's a quarterback.
This is the problem, Black. The offensive line is horrible. That pistol protects him way more, you know. And I had felt the same way you expressing.
I don't know.
Maybe like four or five
options. That's not protecting your quarterback.
No. What it does is it puts the defense off, way off. Because if you watch that last game that the Redskins played, every time that he was in a standard formation, he was getting punished every daggone time. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, I get it, because I was getting tired of that piston too. I was tired of the option and all that kind of carrying on. But then when they got back into that pistol with the two guys in the backfield, then they would fake it and they ran all these different plays from it. It confused the defense. It really confused them, and they weren't hitting him. They weren't hitting him. They weren't getting hits on him like that.
Well, Jerry, go ahead.
Well, I think they're probably going to lose both of them. I see. This is what I see. And I don't know if I'm mistaken about it, but I see like this is a revisionist history. I've seen the same thing, a mobile quarterback that's got a lot of hype, and there's nothing wrong with that because he's got the talent. Putting up some stats, but not putting up some wins. That sounds like Cam Newton of last year. So I think this team is probably going to get maybe two or three more wins because of the caliber of the team they have, especially the wide receivers. RG3 putting up stats but not getting enough wins to really compete, in my opinion, for the Rookie of the Year. So.
Okay. I will say this. I believe that this is going to be a very, very, very tough game for the Redskins to win. Both games are going to be tough. I think they're going to win both games.
300-yard passing game from Nick Foles. Can also expect a 300-yard passing game from Tony Romo.
Can I finish? All right. So, I think that the Eagles are in both teams, the Eagles and the Cowboys, are in disarray right now. Both organizations. The Redskins aren't that far off from being in disarray as well, but the difference is they have a running game. Cowboys and the Eagles are lacking that. If they have a running game, they can control the clock, they can control what goes on, and you would be right, Black. If they ran the ball successfully, Foles would have a 300-yard passing game because the defense is not that great. Our secondary's banged up. Merriweather might play for the first time this year if he doesn't run into any kitten turners or anything like that. You might see Foles do well. Was that call the Redskins to blitz more because he's younger? No.
We keeping you up?
Shut up. No, I think that.
Why you gotta be like that, man? I mean, why you gotta tell me to shut up? What's up with that? What's up with that? What kind of host is that? I was just being concerned for your welfare, and you tell me to shut up. What's up with that?
You know what's up with that, Jerry. You know, I've been trying to help him out coming on the show for a minute. You know, give him some family love, and he just mute me.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, no gratitude whatsoever. He just abused people. You just an abuser.
Yes,
what's up with that?
I'm Ike Turner. Shut up, anime. Sing the song.
All right.
Well, I'm sorry for hurt your little girlish feelings. I'm sorry.
They ain't got nothing to do. They ain't got nothing to do with girlish feelings. It just got to do with having some class, man. I'm telling you.
Whoa!
Oh, dagger! You know what? Here you go, right here. All right. I'm gonna move on without those two jerks. I'm going to move on without those two jerks. I'm just joking. Can I talk, please? I'm sorry, Jerry.
Go ahead and talk about your team.
All right, I'm going to talk about my team. All right, so here we go. Hey, he made me lose my train of thought with all that jibber-jabbing from the
guy. I help you regain your train of thought. Nick Foles will pass for 300 yards.
Oh, no.
In
three or
4 days after that, Tony Romo will also pass.
No. He might pass 300 yards if they decide to run the ball. And the problem that I see with the Redskins right now, especially with RG3, is what my cousin said. The receivers are dropping the ball. It's not the scheme. It's not the play calling. It's
nope.
Execution. Mm-hmm. You know, we can blame Kyle Shanahan all day, but it's not Kyle Shanahan. It's not Daddy Shanahan. It's the execution of the play. If he puts the ball on you or in your vicinity, the quarterback that is, you should catch the ball. There have been way too many drops, way too many drive-killing drops, and penalties. Penalties you can blame on the coach, because if you don't instill discipline on your team, they're going to do penalties. They're going to have penalties. I will say that part. But for the most part, I can't even rail on Kyle Shanahan because he's called good games. They just can't stop anybody on the defense. They can't execute on the offense. But with that said, I think the Cowboys and the Eagles are going to lose both games to the Redskins based upon the fact they don't have it together. The Cowboys have the better shot at beating the Redskins because offensively, you know, if Romo doesn't turn the ball over, if he doesn't turn the ball over, Cowboys are good. And if they get that kid, DeMarco Murray, back either this Sunday or Thursday, that could spell major, major trouble for the Redskins. So I'll preface my decision on them by saying this. They'll beat Philadelphia. If Murray plays on Thanksgiving, the Cowboys win.
That's not going to happen.
If Murray doesn't play on Thanksgiving, the Redskins win.
You have a game in front of Thanksgiving. Don't concentrate on Thanksgiving right now. Concentrate on the task at hand. You're 0-8 against rookie quarterbacks. Concentrate on the task at hand, which is Sunday against the Philadelphia.
Well, like I said, I believe they're going to defeat the Eagles either way. Whether Foles throws 300 yards or not, I think that they're going to beat the Eagles. They're ninth. The Redskins are ninth in the league in takeaways. So if the ball's in the air, hopefully we'll play the ball and you know, get the interception or the turnover. But the only way I see the Eagles beating the Redskins is if they decide to run McCoy. If they decide to run McCoy,
I heard the same scenario a couple of years ago about what they'll do. And I saw Michael Vick and those guys hanging 55 on y'all Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and I got to think that you're looking at through rose-colored glasses because I really believe if you just look at the talent of the Eagles versus the Redskins, especially on the offensive side on the Eagles, I can guarantee you they're going to run the ball more and use Shady McCoy because they have a rookie quarterback.
And I agree with you. But if the Eagles decide to run the ball, they're going to have a problem. They're going to have to throw the ball. You know, the weakness of the Redskins is to throw on the secondary. Period. Point blank. You're not going to get a good running game. If you get a good running game, that's a stump. You will stomp the Redskins. If you get a formidable running game and you play smash mouth and smash us in the mouth, you're going to win the game because you can run and you can throw, a la the Steelers. But if I don't think they're going to lose both of these games. They're going to pick up one of them. I just don't know which one it will be because just looking at it for the first time in a long time. In a very long time, but you know, every other team except for the Giants and the Redskins, you can't say that the Redskins are in like this organizational turmoil. You know, our turmoil is just the personnel on the field now, the personnel on the field. Now you got the Eagles with personnel troubles in their house, and God knows what Jerry Jones is going to do, but. It's, you know, I just think they're going to take one of them. I just don't know which one. I don't know which one.
I agree.
You're going to take both,
this.
And they're going to show up in your column as an L.
Well,
okay, we will see.
You look at the talents on both teams. The Cowboys are the more complete team. For some reason, they just can't get it together. Romo is 20-3 in the month of November, so that doesn't bode well for the Redskins. I think the turmoil on the coaching staff and personnel of the Eagles gives them more of a chance of losing than the Cowboys. Again, I'm prepared to lose one of those games, like you said, Mike, but I think they have a strong possibility of winning both. For this reason, and this reason only. They win both these games, they still have a chance at, you know, winning the division. Because Giants, for whatever reason, whether it's Eli Manning or whoever, arms sore, Bradshaw's hurt, the Giants aren't that good.
I feel you, but I'm not sipping that Kool-Aid. I am not sipping that Kool-Aid. Redskins are a 6-10, 7-19. Period. Point blank. The only thing that they needed to do this year was to establish RG3, and they have done that by leaps and bounds. This year is done. In my eyes, we're done.
I wouldn't say
that's
that.
All we needed to do. No, that's all we needed to do this year.
Yeah, you're right. I definitely have to agree with you. That's why I said I can't see him winning more than three to four games. If that's it. That's it. I mean, you're building something here, and this is just the beginning of it. So.
Right. Exactly.
Hopefully next year
we're getting close to my magic number 5-11, but it won't happen this week.
Whatever, guys.
Well, we'll see.
All right. We got about 4.5 minutes left alive there. We're not going to get to our pick segment. I'm going to let Jerry handle that tomorrow while I'm in the Church of the Lord trying to get my spirituality together.
You need it too, man. You really do.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Because you
just tell people your co-host. You tell your co-host to shut up.
I'm sorry, my friend. I wouldn't tell my friend to shut up, so I apologize.
Excuse me?
He just spoke some French.
Yeah, because I sure didn't understand what that anything he said.
All right. Well, look, we got 3 minutes left alive, and I want to promote this stuff real quick before we go off air. Every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Fantasy Sports and Politics. And if you love Jerry as a host, say it. I don't care. Then whatever. It doesn't bother
me. I'm telling you, you will see the Guinness Book of World Record type numbers.
Shut up, Black. All right. Anyway, every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, we got FSP right here. That will be me hosting the show along with my co-host, JTATM Money, along sometimes with the Bookie Monster if he ain't having issues with his dying phone and stuff. My cousin likes to check in from time to time, doing his thing. Of course, it's always 3-1, and I'm
and
still
he's always welcome in my book. He's always welcome in my book.
Of course. Anything to put Vic down, but I am still undefeated.
We trying to raise you
all
up.
The way.
Yeah.
We trying to raise
all
you
all the
up.
Way.
Always
oh
negative.
And
always negative,
Sunday.
Vic. Always negative, Vic.
On Sunday, if I can get it out, we have the master plan with JTATM Money, giving you a star statistic. Best advice on the internet and fantasy football wise. I know they got the fabulous Mr. Roto and Matthew Berry, another DC guy. I'm telling the old timer, he had one bad week. That was last week. But he's good at what he does. And this week, what are you talking about, Jerry?
I'm going to be talking about some nice little jewels that I got set up here that I think are going to surprise a few people. Got to make amends for what happened last week. I don't like to give a bad week out to people. So.
That's right, especially when you got to lose money to me in fantasy football because you're too scared to make the bet.
$50.
We're going to bet 50 on a football game?
50.
On our head-to-head football match?
50.
I'm asking, I want to clarify, $50, you and me, on our game.
In ESPN. I mean, in Parlay Palace. Is that what you're talking about?
Are we playing in Parlay Palace? No, I'm playing Joker in Parlay Palace.
We're playing ESPN. Absolutely.
It's a deal. $50, right?
Wait a minute, but we're also going to the basketball for $25.
Basketball's over with, guy.
No, it's not.
It's over with tomorrow.
No, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow's tomorrow.
Dude, I'm down 350 points. Not happening.
Hey, didn't you preface this
on
me?
We got 50 seconds left alive, man.
Didn't you preface this on me taking a bet with you, and now you won't take the bet with me? Now, what's up with that?
I'll tell you what. If you make it $100, I'll go basketball because I already know I lost that. But for 50, no. You go 100?
You know what? No worry, because you still owe me some money right now. So this is going to be almost close. I'm going to just add on to that So I appreciate the donation. We go 50. I'm not worried about a measly $25. No worry.
So it's $50 on our football game?
Absolutely.
All right. There we go. Y'all heard it, ladies and gentlemen, right there. Okay, we're 20 seconds left. On Tuesday, Catch Kim Fun with Capacity King.
Excellent.
Then on Thursdays, we got FSP Crew Show with Jet Black and Jerry. Then on Friday, you got that No Chaser Politics. Let's get it on.
Hey,
Mikhail,
if you have a chance to listen to the archives of the show last night, you should have been on there, because me and Mac were going hot and heavy with some old politics that he claimed he wasn't going to talk about.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, yes.
I know.
Apparently
I know.
They had...
Trust, when I call that joint, we're going to be talking about politics. I was a little tied up last night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The young lady wanted to tie me up last night. You know, I had to make her feel empowered last night. So, you know, I couldn't get to the phone.
Did you get blindfolded, too?
Nah, I don't do the blindfold. You know, I don't
we
do
found
that.
Out
do
you called a guy at the union last night.
Jeez, oh, Christmas. Okay, let's keep it moving. So, on Tuesday, Kim Fun has a show. Wednesday, my cousin, if he ain't tied up, literally, he's tied up with Drone Soul and Real Talk, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, you know, Blog Talk Radio. Look up GSRT, if you know what I mean.
Hey, look, have you gotten that girl's picture up yet, man?
What girl?
No.
What are you talking about?
That woman's picture. Have you gotten that woman's picture? Let's look at this. Look at this. Look at this here. Look at
what
this
are you talking
here.
About?
I can't believe it. Who I'm talking about?
Kim Fun.
The Tuesday woman. The Tuesday
Kim
woman.
Kim Fun? Oh, no. Oh, you talking about Kim. Black was working on that. She sent the photo.
Nobody sent me pictures except Kim.
Kim, and you got mine? I sent you mine.
Okay, two people.
See?
I'll send you something by the end of this week, Black. I got to take a nice picture.
Oh, that's going to be hard.
Oh, you know what? See, That's okay.
Jerry.
That's okay.
I love you,
that's
I love
okay.
You,
you can say anything you like, as long as you just remember what my PayPal account is, my email account. So that's all right.
So you can pay me.
So
because you don't stand a chance at ESPN and Yahoo, you are through. This ain't been a good fantasy year for you.
Oh,
but. I will say this. Hey, represent for our division in Duke's League.
I'm trying.
Do the damn thing. All right, because you know the playoffs start next week.
Next week?
Yes, it's a 12-game season in his league, and it's a 2-game per
playoff.
Two-week
playoff, yeah, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and I think you face him in week one if you win this week. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But anyway, This is going to be interesting this year because we got a lot of stuff going on. But fantasy football has been very good to me this year. Hopefully it'll continue to be that way, even though I'm going to be gone for a whole week. Hopefully it's not going to kill me because where I'm going, there is no internet connection. And I'm going to have – and hopefully I have a phone that works.
Just send me your passwords.
Dude, I would, but – where I was at yesterday, I had no phone service or internet connection. I'm going to be there for 65 days.
Just send me all your passwords today, and I'll hook you up.
All right. I ain't got no problem with it. Just don't set me up to lose now.
I'll make sure that Jackson, Ben Roethlisberger, and all those guys out there.
Absolutely. I hear you, Black.
It is what it is. But anyway, any parting shots? We're going to go down the line real quick. We'll save Jerry for last. So I'm going to go Black, Mike, Jerry, then me.
The Boogie Monster putting the college football world on upset alert. Number 9, South Carolina, tied with Wofford. 7-7 at halftime. I don't know what's going on there, but South Carolina get it in gear, man.
Mike? Just want to give a shout out to to all them Republicans out there, and just hope y'all just come on to the fire and sing Kumbaya with us, because yeah, America has shifted. Peace and blessings.
Go ahead, Jay. One more word about the fiscal cliff. I'm going on a rampage.
Who's going on a rampage?
Me.
You.
I don't want to keep hearing all. We have to avoid the fiscal cliff. Oh, the fiscal cliff is coming. Don't talk about the fiscal cliff. Fix the fiscal cliff. That's all I have to say.
I have no idea what you just said, dude. Seriously.
The fiscal cliff. The big thing right after the election was about the fiscal cliff.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about.
What did you say, Black? I missed it.
I said I'm tired of hearing about it. Fix it.
Vic, do you understand the words that are coming out of Black's mouth?
He said he's tired of hearing about it, and that's all I got.
Okay.
Fix it.
Yeah.
It can only be fixed if both sides come to the table and play. If one side wants to continue dogging the other side out, it's never going to get fixed.
You must have not understood my statement. I don't want to hear excuses. I don't want to hear about it.
Just fix it.
Oh,
exactly.
I heard you. Go ahead, JT.
With that being said, tune in next Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. I don't think you're going to be disappointed in the no chaser between me and Mac and whoever else jumps in there. We're going to continue the conversation we had last night. He already told me on a personal cell-to-cell phone call that we're going to continue it from this past week to the next week. So fireworks are still going to be going, and I gather it's not going to be an hour show. It's going to be a 2-hour show.
So y'all working on Black Friday?
We're working on Black Friday, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We will be there on Black Friday with Sparks. I think Sparks are going to be flying again. So that's all I got to say. Listen to the archives of the No Chaser show yesterday, where we got cut off. The conversation could have gone on for another 2 hours. That's how hot and heavy we got. So that's all I got to say about that. Just listen to what happened in the program, and that's going to continue next week.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, I want to thank you guys for listening to the program. Evident that you like what you're hearing, because you keep coming back. Our numbers are growing and growing and growing, and I appreciate that. About a week or so ago, we went over 120,000 listens for the program, for all the programs combined. So I'm very grateful and thankful for that, so I appreciate that. I want to thank you all for sticking with us. You know, we've had our troubles, ups and downs. Host, no host, host leaving, stuff like that. So, you know, we do what we do. We continue on. This is a machine. We keep it well lubricated. So.
Oh, boy.
What?
Oh, boy.
What? At any rate, I appreciate you all, and hope that, you know, you return and bring maybe 2 or 3 friends with them. Have them call in. Get in on a debate, or this debacle, as I like to call it, because it's never debate. I always got to defend anything I say. It's like I'm always wrong. I'm the demon child or something. But, Jerry?
With that being said, you gave us a self-description of yourself, which is pretty on point.
Whatever, guy.
But... With that being said, from Black the Bookie, Macau, and myself, and also, I'll say it nice, Vic Gardner, you've been listening to...
Appreciate you, brother.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.